psalm we just sang begins with the notation, really the exclamation of how lovely the Lord's tabernacles are, and how the soul of the singer wants to see that structure. He wants to stand there in God's presence in that place of beauty, that place of rest and shelter. And today's passage in the New Testament is speaking about a building project that is going to exceed the beauty of any earthly tabernacle, any mere human construction. The passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. I invite you to turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll return to Philippians 3 next time, Lord willing. But today is a passage, it's one that a summer intern a few years ago went through, if you remember that. So you've heard some exposition on that. There'll be some exposition today, but I'm treating it also topically. Sometimes I call these topical sermons occasional sermons because they focus on an occasion, sometimes multiple occasions. So we rally around a particular theme, like if you didn't know, this week is the 29th anniversary of Grace Church here. And it's also marked by not only a council meeting and a congregational meeting next week, and classes is also next week, and a deacon ordination. So churchly themes are afoot. And so that's the occasion that brings us to these words today. I'll be reading verses 10 through 15 of this 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul, as you may expect, if you need a running start here, he's weaving a very long argument together to make a point. It's kind of what he does. He's challenging God's people along the way to live like God's people. Don't live like the world, and certainly don't live like the nonsense going on in Corinth. Don't use that wisdom, and stop quarreling amongst yourselves about things like which church leader is better, things like that. Be the church. Be the church and build the church. The church belongs to the Lord, who is in the process of growing his church, building his church. And he's going to build it, spoiler alert, on Jesus. That sounds obvious, doesn't it? As we step into verse 10 this morning, realize the apostle is talking about the church. Maybe a particular emphasis on the leaders in the church, how they're supposed to go about building the church God's way. Before we hear this word, let's pray together. Father, as we hear your word today, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts please you, O God, our rock and our redeemer, and by your Spirit, guide our hearts, guard our hearts, grant us your peace, your presence, as we hear and heed this word from you. We ask for this grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading from 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15, hear the word of the Lord. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. The Winter Olympics ended last week, if you cared. Even if you didn't, it'd be hard to avoid some of the the scrolling going by and various pictures that declare this has got to be in Milan. Maybe you saw some up-close shots of the Duomo there, the cathedral. Maybe you saw an aerial shot. It's rather spectacular. I mentioned in the past that Robin and I got to visit there. There's a URC pastor that planted a church in Milan, and so we visited him, and we got to see the Duomo inside and out. Very spectacular. Some of the details, for the sake of illustration, it is one of the largest cathedrals in the world. If you saw it on TV or in real life, it's wider than a football field. It's taller than a football field. It's not quite two football fields in length. It's all covered in marble. Nice marble. Gothic features, flying buttresses, of course, pinnacles and spires, like 135 spires launching upward, high into the sky with these lifelike statues on top of the spires. It looks scary. All overlooking the city, walled with high glass and stained glass windows. That's only talking about the outside of Duomo. Mark Twain visited Milan in 1867, and he said this about Duomo, quote, "What a wonder it is, so grand, so solemn, so vast, and yet so delicate, so airy, so graceful. A very world of solid weight, and yet it seems a delusion of frostwork that might vanish with a breath. They say that the Cathedral of Milan is second only to St. Peter's in Rome. I cannot understand how it could be second in anything made by human hands." End quote. You get the idea. There's quality construction in this building. Spectacular construction, the kind that is considered a spectacle and the kind that humans behold. And it's a building, it turns out, that took about 600 years to build. 600 years. You thought your contractor was late. 600 years, a stone laid in 1386. Various engineers and alterations, architects, and amidst human wars until 1965, when the final gate was inaugurated. Duomo, spectacular church building, constructed over centuries. Do you think even before Duomo, way before Duomo, that the Apostle Paul knew a thing or two about church buildings, including the need for a solid foundation for the structure worthy of being built upon that foundation? He does know that. And he writes about it in verses like these we hear today. He's writing to forgetful friends in Corinth. He's reminding them of the truth that is still true today. The truth that the building known as God's church has already had a perfect foundation laid. And because of that, we need to build on that foundation with quality construction. That's the title for today, Quality Construction. That's the occasion, is church things, construction that requires, I'll give you three things, quality craftsmanship, quality composition, and a good bit of quality control. That will be the outline for this. The foundation's laid, it's perfect, it is Jesus. His work is perfect, his life is perfect. It's all perfect, and it's laid there already. So certain things follow as we follow him. We build God's way. The first point that we'll look at is what I'll call quality craftsmanship for this construction. Everyone's called to work on God's building. And you better know what you're doing. leaders in particular. And so with that in mind, look with me at verses 10 and 11 as we move forward here, verses that the apostle reveals really at least two characteristics of craftsmen of God. Just summarize it this way. They're gifted and they're careful. Gifted and careful. Look with me again at verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Pause there for a moment and realize that up front, we've got a worker of God. He's a laborer, master builder, expert, skilled craftsman by God's grace. See that? There's a gifting. There's a gracing of God for this enabling power of the builder. Has skill given by God. Gives wisdom, ability to construct the church his way. What is that way? We'll be looking at that in some ways. Faithful workers, they exercise the gift. God builds up the church. This is a spiritual reality. You might not even see it. Not unique to Americans, but Americans like to see results. And I get it. It's encouraging when you see some results. But sometimes the way this building happens is you don't see it. And yet it's being done with skill by God's grace. The Lord's building. Paul uses a word here to describe the gift. It's architekton. How do you think that translates? Yeah, there's an architect. There's a chief engineer. There's a very particular building project. The master builder understands the process, the craft of building, quality building, craftsmanship. It endures. It stands the test of time. It's beautiful throughout time. And so here in this one verse, Paul's telling us that God has graced him with a special task of laying a very particular foundation. Look with me at the second half of this verse, verse 10. It's where Paul is shifting the emphasis a bit from the worker to the work itself. Maybe you can hear that happening, verse 10. Pretty straightforward. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Take care. There's a craftsman. Careful. And then he seems to offer this as an explanation for this. Verse 11, see it? For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. As if, say, hey, worker, here's the deal. If you want to work on God's building, the church, then you better understand a few things about the foundation. There's only one. It's one foundation. We're about to sing that. And it's already there. You don't need to build on another foundation because that would be foolish. You'll be building on something different if you try to do that, something worthless and false. I suppose you can build a building that looks like a church, like Duomo, looks like a church. You could also build a business that calls itself a church. But without Jesus as the bedrock, it's not a church. I'm probably telling you, you know, he's like, check, I already knew this. I came here today, I already knew this. Tell me something I don't know. Okay, let's move forward with Paul's word here. He's saying, take care. Take care how you build. Why? Because Christianity without Christ is flawed construction from the very beginning. It's not going to pass God's code. To keep the metaphor alive. The only way that God's church is able to get built is on the person of Jesus, the work that he finished. That's the foundation. That's what Paul says, isn't it? So we could use this in a single word. I suppose we could compress a lot of what's going on. It's the gospel. The teaching that Jesus came to die on a cross to save sinners from the wrath of God. Tell me you've heard that before. If you haven't grabbed a hold of that, we need to back up quite a bit. That's the foundation. the solid truth that every church craftsman must build upon. Anything else is false. Chapters 1 and 2 of the same letter, Paul tells the church when he came to preach to them, he preached, remember, from the intern, or from your Bible, Christ crucified. That's it. Well, Paul, what about the other things that I preach? Christ crucified. The living Lord has finished the work, God's work. He's fulfilled all righteousness. That's good news. So if you're trying to build a foundation of like your, build on your good works, very popular. Try to build on your own righteousness. We talked about this some last week in Philippians. You try to, I'm going to be better at doing good things. I'm going to be good at doing better things. And then God will say, that's pretty impressive. And we think that's the foundation for a church. It's going to crumble. And the church that's built on that will, it might not crumble right away. There are some things that look pretty impressive as structures right now, but eventually they fall apart because it's not quality, craftsmanship. It's painfully poor. Take care how you build, Paul says. Build on Jesus. I'll ask you rhetorically, which means you know the answer already. Is that what you came to hear today? Tell me something about Jesus. Not just what you came, but who you came to hear today. The message that that builds you. It builds you up. It uplifts you, the gospel. Quality construction is going to require some gifted craftsmen and lots of careful craftsmanship. That's one. And we'll add something to that. As far as the flow of what Paul's pointing out, the call it building code, the quality composition that's used. So this would be point two, keeping track. Quality construction requires quality composition to go with the craftsmanship. So we've got some materials listed here. If you look with me at verse 12, we've got one verse here. Paul lists off two basic kinds of building compositions. Verse 12, see it there? Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, verse 13, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. We'll get to the last part of verse 13 in just a moment. Before we get there, we want to look at the details, the building, the kinds of materials that the Christian workers are being called to use. Now, Duomo already mentioned there's really two main kinds. There's brick and the marble, the spectacular marble. I think I saw some of the prices. The slabs are, I don't know what I wrote down, something like $3,000 per slab. There are a lot of them. Now, maybe you don't care about money or marble or this Duomo, but it's quality stuff. It's beautiful. It's lasting. It's still there. And in these verses, it looks like Paul's got six different materials. Really, there's two main kinds. I think you can see this breakdown pretty well. There's the durable kind of material, and there's the and they're precious, and then there are the perishable kind. See that? More graphically, they are the combustible kind. They burn. You got good quality or poor quality. What kind of composition are you using when you're building on the foundation? So we have the leaders here in Corinth. Paul's got a word to them. He wants them to ponder this. Really, it's coming across as a warning. Maybe you can sense the bit of a tone here. The builders over there in Corinth, what materials are you using? What materials are you using? Are they precious or perishable? What do you got in your hands right now? And maybe you can say, well, that depends. What's a good material? Well, what do we see it right here? Gold, silver, precious stones. That sounds good. That would be compatible with the one foundation who is worthy. Right? I think you'd agree with that. They're pretty spectacular looking. Preaching the gospel would be precious, of course. The doctrine, the sound doctrine that goes with it. Teaching that's sound, that you build up Christian character through the word as it comes week after week. Consistent. Quality. The foundation underneath it. Quality, composition. Gold, silver, precious stones. Pretty easy. What are some bad materials? Well, you got wood, hay, and straw. No mention of three pigs. But you get the idea. Paul's going through the way the world builds things. Wisdom from the world. Let's build a great organization. And we'll call it a church. We'll use all kinds of materials. If only we had a better sound system. We could really build on that. People like that. People like productions. I do. At the theater. Lights, camera, action. If you build it, they will come. Or there are other ways to do this. Quality video as well. Let's forge an environment in this room that is not so much a worship service, but a worship experience. Something where you can experience something. A baseline that carries you there emotionally. Why not? How about a dynamic personality? If only we had a preacher who would yell at us. If only. Or if he did not wear a bow tie. I mean, the list is very long about the dynamic personality, energy and wit, and a podcast. We could build a church on that. And you could. What's the material? It's a composition that turns out to be combustible, not lasting. Programs don't last. What's required by God as you build on the foundation? What's the composition? What's the quality? I will concede that you can attract a business that sparks interest in a lot of good things. But a lot of the good things that maybe on the face of it are okay, they burn up. Is that clear enough from this passage? AV equipment, human personalities, fun events, they're all temporary. Church builders 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years today, to this day. We need to discern what materials God has required in his word, the kind that last. Paul's challenging, he's warning the leaders there in this church to consider the quality of their materials. Precious, durable materials, teachings from God's word, those will last forever. Are you guys building on that? Is that the kind of church that you want, or do you have an earthly way of building a building? The day's coming when the quality of your choices get revealed, and lest we think that we here are above the possibility of ever selecting a poor piece of building material, we need to think again. We have flesh and blood. What is it we should ask ourselves? What kind of lumber or marble are we reaching for? What kind of wisdom? Is it low quality, high quality for the church of God? Now, knowingly, we wouldn't do that. I hope you think highly enough of the leadership. We're not going to go out on purpose and say, I want that bent board. We're not going to do that. But sometimes ignorance has a way. You just don't know some things about the process. That's true through the ages. And then those things crumble and collapse when you try to use those. But again, maybe in charity you think, well, I didn't mean for it to be a piece of junk. But it's possible for builders not to know, to grab a strange composition in the name of building the church, products that seemed like a good idea at the time. They seemed solid. The kids liked it. Remember, I was a youth director. I thought about that one. There are a lot of tempting, shiny objects to put on buildings. We know what the foundation is. You think, this is the easy part. Yeah. And now how do you build? Not just ignorance, but expediency can be a problem. Try to cut some corners, save some costs. Maybe you've noticed that things like gold and silver and precious stones cost a lot. So you might think, well, let's try something else. Let's spend our time and our resources boring people with things like doctrines. Those Reformed churches, they just want to get into the weeds, the details of the things. Doesn't make people always feel good. The service of worship, let's again go back to that experience thing. Let's revisit that. Not a liturgy that has a structure. Why can't we just be more casual, roll with things? People don't like formal things. The pastor read a form today. There were laying on of hands. Churchly compositions. The Psalms, brothers. You say, I don't know if you ever think this. You can talk to me if you do. If you think like the Psalms, they're so 1000 BC. We need more modern uplift. Short things, simple things. Should we change our liturgy? I've had this one for decades. You see it there, it's in your bulletin. I'll remind you what it is. God calls us to worship, right? We respond with a song. God reveals his will. We respond by confessing our sin. God assures us that we're forgiven, which is good news. And then we gladly hear that. We offer our prayers on behalf of others. God gives us his word and his sacrament. We receive that by faith, and he strengthens us through it. And we respond with a song. And then we hear God give us a blessing, and then we leave with a doxology of praise. Pretty straightforward. Borderline predictable, you could say. Some might even say boring. So predictable. What do you think of these materials? Do you need more than this liturgy? And maybe really what I'm asking is, do you want more than this? And if so, what would you add? What would you add to what? Or what would you take out? And why? Or perhaps to use Paul's terminology, what compositions should we use in this activity of worship in the church? These are valid questions. And sometimes people in their well-meaningness or ignorance might even say, we need to stop talking about sin and repentance. That sounds so 1600s. No, that sounds like the Bible. Materials. Quality construction requires quality composition. And lastly, quality control. It shouldn't take as long, but first we have that quality construction requires the quality craftsmanship, and then the quality composition of materials is going to require some quality control. Do you know what quality control is? Okay. If you don't, real quickly, you could ask yourself, why does a hamburger at McDonald's taste the same everywhere? Kennewick, Orlando, Los Angeles, Amsterdam, Milan. You notice that? There's a reason for that. And the reason is because of quality control. McDonald's exercises at least some level that will control the texture and the flavor of their brand. Right? You can count on it. It's one reason you might go there when you're overseas. You think, I need a burger that I recognize. They've kept track of that. The Golden Arches have their own brand. They've got control of their own, and you don't want to misrepresent the brand. And what do we have here? We have quality control that the apostle is directing in this kind of way. If you look with me at verses 13 through 15, what's Paul describing is it's not only what happens when the quality construction passes the test, but he's telling us what happens when the quality fails the testing process. Remember, there's total quality. It must be worthy of the foundation it's built upon, and that's Jesus. If you listen to these words from Paul, starting verse 12, we'll get a running start. Now, if anyone, see this? Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. The day, you notice that capital D there. The day. What day? The day of the Lord. The day when Jesus returns to judge. To see what remains. Is there a reward? What's combustible? What gets consumed by fire? Verse 13. Because it will be revealed by fire, and that the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, it will receive a reward. You thought, oh, good. I like the sound of that. So here comes the fire. And you might maybe ask these kinds of questions when you're hearing the scriptures or reading it yourself. Well, I like the sound of reward. Does that mean that I earn something? I hope you at least cringe a little bit before you get too excited about what that. Did you deserve it? Do you deserve the reward? Is it part of your merit system? It's not merited. If you look, the word that we have here is it's received. See that? You receive a reward. The reward itself is a gift. You excited about getting rewards? And you start thinking, man, I champed it up in this life. I crushed it. And so I'm really looking forward to the particular jewels, precious stones, and the gold and silver in my crown. No, you're receiving, it's by grace that the Lord is giving what you receive. That's what grace he's giving you. And in his wisdom, he gives you this reward to the faithful builder. You might ask, well, how does he do that? I don't know. I mean, what's that going to look like? I mean, maybe more precisely, we're not told what this reward event is going to look like. Maybe you've imagined that. But it's something that grace gives you. Grace. It's spilling over into glory. God gifts his children. But what about the fire part? See that? So there's a testing of the quality. The quality that may get out of control. So what if the burgers get burnt, so to speak? What do we do about that? Materials are not up to code. What happens then? Is the franchise taken away from you? It's a valid question. We got a graphic answer. If you look with me at verse 15, this has been misunderstood, I suppose. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. It's quite a picture. We're almost done. Verse 15, you like to end on that one? Got the builder and a fire, a testing, sweeping through the building. You spent your whole life working on something, and here come the flames, and they start devouring the things that are combustible, right? And yet, what happens for the believer? The believer's yanked out of it. It's just all the nonsense, all the chaff, it goes away. The rubble, the heap, and you're snatched out of it in time. So even if you built poorly, God rescues his people. You suffer some sort of loss, Paul says, but it's not an eternal loss. You don't lose your soul. You don't lose your body. Because at least you were building on Jesus, the one foundation. But evidently, maybe not very well. The quality was low, lacking. And the quality control exposes that. Some of you may be aware of the verse 15. I won't get into this too much, but since it's dangling there, maybe for some of you, this is one of the places where some might claim to have found a doctrine called purgatory. What's purgatory? It's a dormitory. It's a place where you dorm. And purgatory is a place where things are purged. So we're told. Supposedly purged of certain sins through a time of suffering before you can go into heaven. Is that what Paul is talking about here? It is not. You know the only place where your sins are purged, or maybe more specifically where they're punished? You need to know the answer to this. The cross. Your sins went on Jesus. He takes your sins. He takes the wrath. He pays the cost. He endured the fire of God's wrath for you. And that's why your sins are taken away. When you trust him, when you turn from your sin, that's the gospel truth. And you receive the righteousness, you receive what he gives by grace. Otherwise, your sins remain on you if you do not turn to him. The sins remain on you, and there is this eternal punishment, the fire of hell. And that's bad news. But the good news is also right here. In the setting of verse 15, Paul's not talking about purgatory. He's talking about the seriousness of the consequences that face the builders who, for whatever reason, chose to build God's church with inferior wisdom, with combustible things. And so in the end, Paul says, by God's grace, you may be saved, but the utter worthlessness of what you have left behind will be evident. So back to verse 10. Take care. Take care. How you build on the foundation. It's a big subject. Building God's church. I'll give you that. Church building. And locally, Grace Church has been doing it for 29 years. And it took humans 600 years to build the Duomo in Milan. But I'll tell you some happy truths here. Just as a reminder. In God's design, he's still building his church. And the foundation's the same. We build on Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus Christ risen. Jesus Christ reigning. All builders for all times need to hear it. That's good news. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your church. We praise you for giving us your own Son as the sure foundation. Lord, forgive us whenever we attempt to build on anything other than that great foundation that you have already laid for us. Keep us, we pray, from foolishly chasing and choosing the wisdom of the world as building materials for your church. Instead, Lord, give us the eyes of faith that are able to discern the quality and hearts that are rejoicing in your ways of building and strengthening your people. Strengthen our hands. Make them eager to build the church that you have called out of this world to be your own. We ask for this view toward the great day when you will call all of us home to receive the reward that you have promised to those who have built well. And we pray this today in the name of Jesus, our one foundation. Amen.